So this provided quite a bit of clarity in the antitrust space, but there is still the question of what happens when states delegate their authority to non-sovereign actors, and those are the actors that are presiding over behavior that could be classified as anti-competitive. And so the Supreme Court decided to take a look at those particular circumstances in the Mid-Cal case in 1980. And the facts of that case, California had set up a wine pricing system wherein they delegated to private wine wholesalers and wine producers the authority to set prices for wine in the state of California. The state authorized the program and they enforced the prices that the wholesalers and producers set, but the state wasn't at all involved in how the reasonableness of the prices. They didn't look at market conditions and make sure that the prices were reasonable, that they weren't running afoul of state policy. And the Supreme Court found that in a circumstance such as this, there was no immunity for these particular actions under federal antitrust law. So through that case, the Supreme Court developed a two-part case for when you have a non-sovereign state actor and engaging in anti-competitive action. There's only immunity from federal antitrust law if two requirements are met. First, the challenged behavior has to be in line with clearly articulated state policy. And second, you have to have active supervision by the state. And that's what was missing in this particular scenario with regard to the wine pricing system. So again, we get a little bit more clarity from the Supreme Court in the 1980s, but there's still questions. There's lots of different types of wielders of state authority out there. And there began, especially around turn of the 21st century, to be questions about market participant controlled state boards and sort of where did they play in the space of immunity from antitrust law. And so the Supreme Court finally took up this issue. There had been a circuit split prior to the North Carolina Dental Board case, but in 2015, the Supreme Court looked at specifically market participant controlled boards and made a determination as far as what is involved for those boards with regard for them to have immunity from federal antitrust law. And the Supreme Court decided in this particular case that in order to have immunity, these types of boards have to be acting consistent with state policy, but they also have to have active supervision by the state. In this case, I'm sure most of the view watching have heard of it. It really did send shockwaves through the regulatory communities. Market participant controlled boards are very widespread throughout the United States. There's lots of these boards, especially in the occupational licensing realm. And America really has a tradition of letting people that are participating in a profession be involved in the regulation of that profession. And before North Carolina Dental Board was decided, there weren't a terrible number, high number of these boards that were being actively supervised by the state. And that was the case in Texas in a lot of circumstances. We had quite a few boards that are market participant control boards that were not being actively supervised when North Carolina Dental Board was decided. And so what do we mean by active supervision? The Supreme Court made clear when they decided the North Carolina Dental Board case that there is not sort of a one-size-fits-all scheme for active supervision. There's sort of four characteristics that need to be met in order for active supervision to be sufficient. These were actually articulated in the North Carolina Dental Board case, and then the FTC in issuing guidance pursuant to that case fleshed out what these requirements meant in a little bit more detail. So the four requirements for active supervision are: one, the substance of the anti-competitive decision has to be reviewed. It can't just be the procedure that an agency used to get to the decision. It has to be the decision itself. Number two, the supervisor has to have the power to veto or modify the decision to ensure consistency with state policy. The active supervisor can't just advise or give guidance along those lines. Third, the mere potential for state supervision is inadequate. You have to have actual real state active supervision. And finally, the supervisor can't be a market participant. So if you have a market participant controlled board of lawyers, you can't send a decision to another lawyer that's outside of that board to determine its consistency with state policy and then and still preserve immunity in that particular situation. So